Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on Bill McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada.
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it. Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score!
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning.
The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
And now here's your host, Elliott Price.
The pod excuse has been taken down. And while nobody is taking any time to explain the change in direction, the no excuses Canadians must have come to a few conclusions. First, a good reason is not always an excuse. Lose Carey Price, and no team with the world's best goalie can be expected to perform anywhere near the previous expectations without him. As to why so many underperformed, as to look like they'd given up at times, well, there is no excuse. Take it down, they had to. Because beyond Carey Price's lost season, the team without excuses had many, and that slogan was killing them. The longer it rode shotgun on last season, the more stupid the whole idea looked. Then again, what were the chances that team, the one that started better than any Habs team ever, the 24 Stanley Cup Canadiens, would end up in the toilet, netting them a top draft choice? Twice now in a few years, the Canadians have dropped low enough to select high enough to get a franchise cornerstone. Fact is, it's what you must do if you hope to contend in the future. A big scoring center and a top duo defenseman? Worth a barrel of excuses. Apologies only necessary if you suck only badly enough to constantly place middle of the pack, a couple of playoff dates and continued mediocrity. That needs excuses. Fact is, the Canadians only use the slogan because they didn't think they would have to. They didn't think they'd need any excuses. Well, the bad year is almost over, and the bad taste of no playoffs will push them. And if an excuse is needed this season, Jeff Molson will be excusing some staff from the organization. Best of luck, boys. Okay, by the way, the name of that song is King of All Excuses. Just thought I'd... because
fitting.
We do not play enough Stained on this.
That's the most regular Jerry. Complaint we get, actually.
At least once a week. Hey! More Stained! That's all we hear. Aside from that, they think we're damn perfect. That's Grant Robinson. I'm Elliott Price. We welcome to the studio to join us tonight in our roundtable discussions of whatever it is we're discussing, and there's a lot to discuss. Sean Farrell, how you doing?
Just great. I'm really glad we had some Stained played this evening.
See what I mean? There it is. Hey, add that name to the list, Sean Farrell, people who have called to demand Stained. All right, as opposed to the T-shirts that Freddie wears here every night, this is the only Stained that you will get for the next little while. And if you have, well, we can't get Stains out of your T-shirt, but we can get clogs out of your pipes, all right? Because Monsieur Drain will take care of that. Number?
640-0070.
We're going to have to like have someone call.
You thought you had me, eh?
No, I know you know it now. Right. You will never forget it again. You're good forever. MonsieurDrain.com. All types of plumbing and draining and unblocking to bigger jobs that need excavation. High pressure jet cleaning. 25 years. You say he's the best. Yes, you do. Because you've given him the Consumer Choice Award for 3 consecutive years, because you know if there's a problem, he'll figure it out quickly. Cut down on the cost, because he'll do a camera inspection, and he'll know what's going on down there faster than anybody else. That means better and less expensive. Monsieur Drain, 514-640-0070. If Grant can memorize the number, no, I'm just kidding. MonsieurDrain.com. There you go. You all right?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Well, some bad news for Canada today, but if one team can withstand that, you know. It's definitely not good news.
He's old enough not to be on the North American team. Is that it?
Well, that's
how do we keep track of these guys?
Well, Jamie Benn was definitely going to be a key piece to that. And that might be in the opening faceoff. And by might, I mean it absolutely will be in it. So there's a little tease for you. Elliot.
Let's see. Sean will be around to talk about what he covers, which is the National Hockey League and the impact. You cover football, Sean?
No.
No football.
A very emphatic no. I like that.
You would if it was the NFL. Huh? You wouldn't be saying no like that.
I would if I was employed to do so.
Okay. Good answer.
Very well.
It's a solid answer.
I'll take that. That's very good. We'll talk to the general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And why not? It's taken us half a year to track him down. Neil Huntington will join us. And you know what? This has happened before. When Neil doesn't come on right away, the Pirates start losing games. Okay? So what is it? Like 4 in a row now? He's on tonight. The losing will stop. This is the beginning of the Pirates' winning streak, and they will end up in the playoffs this year.
They are up 5-0 right now.
There you go.
So.
I didn't even check the score. And I said that sight unseen, because that's the way it works. Because, as you know, announcers have the power. We can make shutouts disappear. We can make no-hitters end. Just ask Twitter.
I do it for fun in every update. You know that from the playoffs.
Yeah,
anytime one period goes by, I say shutout and hope it ends.
Well, they usually do because there aren't a lot of shutouts. Just the way. But I know what I can predict. I can predict that R.A. Dickey's going to suck. Okay?
Hey, he's not losing right now.
He's not.
They're Blue Jays just
they
tied
score 12?
And bases loaded, no outs.
All right, very well. So we'll talk to him, and we'll continue our National Football League countdown. Where are we now? We are at team number 12. Wow. Team number 12. So 21 teams gone? No, 20 teams gone.
20, yeah.
So this will be team 21?
There'll
be 11 left.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry.
So 3 sevens. You can bunch them in sevens, right? Crappy, almost crappy, and getting better than crappy now, somewhat good.
For me, honestly, it's 10. 10 and 10. And even then, there's got 11th team, right?
Yeah, really 15.
One guy stepping up.
I think 15, 15, and the final 5 or 6. You know, 15, 12, and then the rest. The rest are championship contenders, but you never know.
I can tell you it'll all change because Carolina Panthers last year were supposed to be one of the worst teams because they had no targets, and then Cam Newton had his best year ever. So, things are going to change, but this is just a way of letting you know where they stand now.
I'll take a quarterback with no targets.
Fair.
Over targets with no quarterback, okay?
Fair.
Every time.
Fair.
All right. Busy show and a whole bunch from the Impact coming up as well. Stick with us. The opening face-off is coming up.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
They always say great minds think alike. Your opening rant and my first question, they do have some in common, so I will change it. I was going to ask simply, the Montreal Canadiens took down the no excuses sign in the locker room. What do you think about that? I think you let us know what you thought about it.
Well, so, why don't we ask Sean then?
So we'll ask Sean. Look, they had the sign up, right, all season last year, made some excuses after it and took it down. Does that bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me. I think they had it up the season before, too. It's going to be interesting to see what they choose to put in its place, but blank wall for the moment is better than no excuses because that one got pretty old.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with the, like you said, it was getting old, and you said it in your rant, it was kind of giving people just, you're obviously going to say excuses after games. Carey Price being out is, it's not an excuse, it's a fact, right? But One thing I don't like is that, look, the team, it was more than just Carey Price. And at the end of the year, you brought this up all the time, Elliot. There was no real accountability, no reasoning for moves, no anything like that. I think taking it down, it just gives people more reason to talk about it. Now it'll go away. A month from now, it won't matter. Win games. Nobody's going to care in the end. But I really think they should have kept it up.
Well, I don't know. It because of the season that they had, it was ill-timed, and it gave everybody an opportunity to ridicule them. Because once the season was over, everybody knew that you can call it an excuse. It's a reason. Carey Price gets hurt. I don't care what team he plays for. If Carey Price gets hurt, they're just not going to win games like they did. And they're certainly not going to be a contender to win a championship.
I will say this. Any members on the team, I think they should embrace that one this year. They know that now, look, they hear people talking about it. There won't be excuses this year. You know the team's going to give their best effort. Shea Weber's, maybe a lot of people are talking about it.
What are you
move.
Saying? They didn't give their best effort last year?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
I think these guys always give their best effort.
Everybody does. You're a professional, right?
They think they're giving their best effort.
It's just hard once it starts snowballing. Right. We saw with the Leafs 2 years, a bus off a cliff.
I like the bus off the cliff.
You like that?
You like that?
That was outstanding.
Are you a Habs fan?
Am I a Habs fan?
Yes. Did you grow up a Habs fan?
I grew up a Habs fan. I'm a reporter now.
Okay.
You know.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, I grew up a Hawks fan. I'm still a Hawks fan.
Yep.
Not when you cover the games live. You tried to
I
not
did,
be
but,
a fan.
But the thing is, I did become a Habs fan, though.
Well, growing up, I don't remember no excuses being up on a wall. But we do remember Flanders Field.
How old are you?
I am 52.
Because your generation, they didn't need excuses.
That's
they just
right.
won cups.
Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right.
No excuses. Yeah. We're sorry we lost in the Stanley Cup final.
But I wouldn't hang my hat on no excuses.
All right. No, me neither.
Well, look, now we'll move on. I brought it up already. Jamie Benn has withdrawn from the World Cup.
Oh, no.
Logan Couture will replace him.
Whatever.
First of all, how big of a loss is this for Canada? And does it change the odds of winning in your eyes? Obviously, they're still a good team.
Jamie Benn is one of the top five scorers in the National Hockey League, so obviously you're a lesser team, but no country has the depth that we do. So you're adding Logan Couture is a great player.
Logan Couture led the playoffs in scoring yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So
there's a guy that probably should have been on the team in the first place, so now he is. This is Canada because it's a Maple Leaf, and we will be as good as we're going to be with or without Jamie.
You know what would be great for this tournament is Canada A and Canada B. Canada 1, Canada 1A. Wouldn't that be something?
No.
It'd be the first. Well, look, if you're allowed
you
to
got
put
team
together
North America.
Yeah, I know, but which is also a stupid idea.
But it'd be the first time.
It's going to be interesting actually to see how Team North America, what kind of a following they get. We don't grow up. None of us grew up as North Americans.
It's true.
Cheering for North America.
One of the great hockey moments: Mario Lemieux being fed by Wayne Gretzky.
I do recall that, yeah.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
No, that's right.
Because Mario would have been too young, he would have been with Team North America.
Sure.
And Connor McDavid, the next time they have this tournament, he's going to be the best player in the National Hockey League. He's not going to be playing for Canada. How stupid is that?
Well, you know, Connor McDavid will play for Team North America. He'll probably, you know, I'd say it's pretty sure that he's going to play for Team Canada at the Olympics in 2018. Mm-hmm. And
unless they go with a Team North America then, too.
He'll be back in Team North America for the next World Cup. So,
well, when he's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I get what you're saying.
Well, they might gain some fans for the next one.
It doesn't matter what they gain. This is Canada. We take our players. You don't. There is no North America. We don't band with the Americans and cheer for the same hockey team. It's not what we do.
There's nobody better than Canada when it comes to depth.
Don't get me started.
I agree.
Over
and like
there.
He said, Canada 1A, 1B. It's always that argument, right? Well, one thing Canada's missing is elite scorers right now. You look at the
top 10, wait a minute.
There's only three that are Canadian in scoring.
This Canada A and B, which is something that amateur sports organizations that have a high influx of players do.
Right.
Okay? So certain parks, certain organizations, when they have too many players, they break it down to Team 1 and Team 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to decide. So what is it? Do we have one strong team and the other guys get the rest? Or do you take the best player and they get the second best player? Boy, oh boy, you're not the best Canadian team then.
No,
I don't like that at all.
You put out your first best. I get what you're saying.
And then what?
You still go for the gold.
So then there's Canada.
For bronze,
so what is
maybe.
It? It's
Why
Canada
not?
Really one and Canada sorry or
yeah.
two?
Is that's that what I like. Here? That's what I like, Elliot, because then you have Team 1, you know, and then you have Team 1A, okay?
Yeah.
And Team 1A gets the dregs.
Right.
Okay, so Somebody goes down on team one, and there's an opening on team one. They get to call on team 1A first.
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
The man comes up with the idea and then destroys it all in like a minute and a half.
I just think it's going to be a big loss. Look, for three reasons, and I say
why'd
this,
you put up four fingers?
I think I put up three.
You did not. You put up. You said
I was
three reasons.
The pen with that hand. Give me a break. But look, like I said, elite scoring is Canada's Crosby. Joe Thornton was in the top 10 this year, but 10 to 20 is all Canadians in scoring. Some of them didn't even make the team, but those top elite guys that you need, Jamie Benn is maybe the best at it right now, and not only that, but he's a duo with Tyler Seguin. That's the only duo that Canada had, really.
You know what the lament's going to be?
What's that?
You know what the lament is going to be?
You're going to tell us.
Yes. Man, if we only had Connor McDavid.
Oh, well, that's the bigger loss. Let's be honest. Two of five. I would say they're two of the five best players in the world right now. They're not going to be on Team Canada. That's rough.
All right.
We don't usually have that problem. Sticking with that, you guys already said Logan Couture is a great player. Huh? Is there somebody else you would have been either okay with seeing, would have rather seen on the team? I'll say this.
Okay.
Corey Perry, not on the team.
Yeah.
I still...
You
I'm
don't
somewhat
care.
Shocked by
You're
it.
Still at home crying because Phil Kessel's not on the American team.
Oh, that's
team.
A good... Hey, he led the tournament in scoring. Keep him home. I have no problem with that.
He's not on the team.
Hey, he can't hear you. He's got his Stanley Cup plugged in his ear.
He's got one.
He's only
he
got hearing
still,
in one
he
ear.
He can hear with one ear.
Unless there's something wrong with his hearing. All right. By the way, to be perfectly honest, I got to tell you, it's August 23rd and I'm not completely plugged into the Canadian roster. So I don't 100%
the Canadian
know.
Roster?
Yeah.
There's no other teammates at forward. Like, for example, Getzlaff and Perry would have been that other. I always like doing that. To
just,
me, that's
I'm
the reason why
Seabrook
made the
I'm telling you that I'm
then.
Not completely plugged in.
Here.
You know, we just did the
right
Olympics
now.
Here.
Here's
okay?
the forwards.
I'm still Olympicizing. And
are you ready?
Yes, I read today that they have one natural winger, and all the other wingers
yeah, but
are centers.
That's not a problem. That's,
I'm just
that's
saying.
Just Canada.
It's always been that way.
Is always
Dale
good.
Howard Chuck played the wing. I mean, Hall of Famers. Gilbert Perreault played the wing.
Mario Lemieux played the wing.
Exactly. So,
yeah. I'll
Hall,
take
of
that.
Hall of Fame centers have played the wing.
Throw
some
our centers
wing.
Out of the face-offs. I don't mind.
Do you remember a Canada Cup when Peter Stastny played for Canada?
For Team Canada, 1984.
I don't.
Five-game, no goal. Never born. Happened. I remember interviewing him. He was in a slump during that Canada Cup. They played here. Is that it? Is that all you got?
Well, that's no. Well, hold on. Okay. This one's not
Page
hockey related.
Two.
It is football related. But again, look, this is just for you.
Don't,
and you
don't
know
upset
it's
Sean.
A
He's a guest.
So it works in a sense. Pittsburgh Steelers players right now are being told by their representatives to save up for 2021 as they expect a lockout to happen. Pittsburgh was the only one to vote against the CBA last time. They do think the drug issues in it and the suspensions, all that will be a problem. Because unless they're willing to sit out games and they're financially ready to do that, they're just going to have to agree like they did last
they
time.
They cannot continue to do this. They cannot continue to roll over for the National Football League. The end is nigh. But they're football players. They do it every time. Why they haven't learned from Major League Baseball over the years, but they have to be crying. They have to be crying this offseason watching nobodies in the National Basketball Association get guaranteed contracts for millions and millions of dollars. And I heard something today. Okay, I can't believe it. Okay, your boy Des Bryant has a concussion, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to miss maybe the rest of the preseason. And his coach was quoted. You know the quote from
Jason Garrett.
From Jason Garrett. We don't see it as a long-term problem.
But it's... Well, no, hold on. But football players don't miss games for concussions, really.
I understand.
But I get what you're saying.
I'm just
don't
saying.
See it as a long-term
Hello.
Problem. You should have chose
Hello.
Some better words.
Why? Hello.
That was awful. But I agree. Look, NFL players have the shortest careers out of any of these sports. The only one with non-guaranteed contracts.
They do get a lot more up front. I mean,
agreed.
To make sure
for the
long,
big players,
that's right.
right. But hockey...
It's got to stop. But the problem... Here's the big problem when it comes to the National Football League. When it comes to basketball, you're paying 12 guys. When it comes to the NFL,
you're paying
50.
And hockey's
25,
in the middle. I get what you're saying. And it's a big difference. I agree that I think this is big. And if all sports did this, get your players to save money and, you know, the PA of any sport, have them ready for a lockout, and the league doesn't have the advantage anymore. And that's what the NFL did. Like you said, they strong-armed them. Roger Goodell's running a dictatorship. Oh, suspension, he has a wheel, and he just picks how many games it is. There's no uniformity, whereas the NHL, call it what you want, they do suspensions very well. Remember David Clarkson? It wasn't a question how many games you'll get. It was, you did this, it's 10 games, that's it. It's not, well, look, I'm having a good day, it's 4. I think it's very important, personally. You think it'll change anything if they do save?
I think that here it is for them right now. This is their opportunity. They have to. They need a leader that's going to take them in the proper direction, and if need be, they need to sit out a year. You know what? It'll clear their heads. Be the best thing that's happened to these guys. They need to finally get together and make sure that they take care of themselves, because no one is taken care of less than football players. And no one needs care more than football
players. But the biggest challenge is always with the football players is the disparity in the income and the ability to keep them together as a union.
And the biggest problem is, do you know what the biggest problem is? They love to play the game. They just want to play.
Yep.
Just want to play. You guys are crazy. That's why they play football. They're crazy.
I wouldn't say they're
crazy. You are not. You know what? 90% of the guys that walk away from baseball are going to have, what, sore ankles when they get old, maybe a knee replacement, maybe a hip. You know, there are a percentage of hockey players that are going to have issues.
Worse, yeah.
Basketball players. But it's almost
it's definitely the worst.
Football players, it's got to be 100%.
They give their lives, really.
They're all going to be disabled in some way by playing that game.
And it's tough. I agree. You can't, but they, you know that signing up, right? You not the CTE.
I understand,
I'm not talking about
but there's no reason
the
that you, if you know that signing up, then you should also know that you need to take care of yourself. Sure. And the way the National Football League has stiffed them in the coverage that they need post-career, they need to have someone smart in charge to make sure that they're taking care of this
stuff. Are they going to be able to avoid replacement players, which is what they did in, what, 87?
Yes, but they can do replacement players and people won't give a crap.
Right.
So that's perfect. They won't care about the replacement players, and that'll take care of replacement players.
Yeah, if you could sit out for a full year,
They aren't going to watch?
What's that?
Fans aren't going to watch?
No.
Oh, yeah, they'll watch. They watched in 87.
But what were the numbers?
They were terrible. Comparison?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
They broke it in the end.
A full league?
Yeah, that's because the players gave up because they wanted their money. They need to sit out as long as necessary.
I agree with you. I just don't see them having the...
I agree with that, too. I just said that's what they have to do. I say that's what they're going to do.
You know who can fix that?
Yeah, Donald
President
Fear.
Trump.
President Trump. There
Ron
it is.
Donald.
There it is.
And there's your opening face-off.
The opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Opening face-off can always use a smoked meat sandwich. We could use one right now. Did you go? When are you going?
Thursday.
Freddie?
I went Sunday.
You went Sunday. It was closed. We've been through this.
When it's closed.
They're closed on Sunday. All right? They're open every other day. Go another day, Freddie. 1057 Bernard, or better still, call 213-1313 and have them package the greatest smoked meat that's ever been made, and then you can eat it on Sunday.
Tell me all about this. Where do I go? Where is this place?
Don't wink at me. A whole life in Montreal, everybody knows you're joking. All right? Lester's Deli. 1057 Bernard. That's where it is. What is it? 65 years of making smoked meat perfect. That's what it is. Perfect.
I feel like you're picturing it right now.
I am. Close my eyes. I see rye bread, mustard, pickles, coleslaw, French fries. I like to have them with gravy. All right, we'll talk more about smoked meat as the show rolls along here. We have voices. We're running out of time. We'll see if we can't squeeze them in before we hear from Pittsburgh Pirates general manager Neil Huntington and a grand update. Oh, my God, there's not enough time for the show tonight. That's coming up.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Canada's heroes came home. Penny Oleksiuk in conversation after getting off the plane. What's on her mind? Olympic medals? No. She talked with our good friend Eric Thomas. Have a listen.
How surreal is that? You know, most of your friends are going for driver's licenses. Yeah. You're sitting here with four medals. What kind of a feeling is that?
It's a pretty great feeling, but all my friends have their driver's licenses, and I don't, which is something that I want, I guess. And I guess they're all kind of one step ahead of me, but they're all really supportive of me, and it's definitely been really great to hear from all of them.
One step ahead in certain aspects, and maybe not others, yeah. But what's it like bringing home a few medals, too, with 22 for Team Canada? That's the most that we've had in 20 years.
Yeah.
Before you were born.
Yeah, it was pretty great to watch everyone racing and doing their sports and to watch different teams get medals, and I couldn't really believe it, I guess. No one expected this of Canada, and it just shows that we're a pretty strong team, and it's also a pretty young team, so going into 2020, I think we're going to surprise even more, I guess.
What about the women? Because that was a big story for the first week or so of the games. I mean, it was all ladies picking up medals. How inspiring was that? How great was that to be a part of when you look around and say, the women are doing it down here in Brazil?
It's for sure pretty inspiring, and definitely a lot of young girls were inspired by it, because I got a lot of messages from younger girls telling me how much they loved watching me and how they were going to start swimming and everything, and it's pretty great to know that you're inspiring the next generation of Olympians, I guess. So,
wasn't only about swimming as far as the women were concerned. Basketball? Here's young Kia Nurse.
For me, I think it was a matter of just understanding and looking at, when I was younger, in my sport, there wasn't a whole lot of female basketball players that you could look up to, just because we weren't all out, there wasn't all about female basketball, it wasn't all over the TVs, those kind of things. And now I think any little girl can look around and they can find any single sport they want, and they can find a role model who's a female and who's strong and powerful and confident in what she does. And sports has given me so much more than wins and losses and friends and the confidence, it's all those other little intangibles. I think every little girl who plays a sport will understand that and get that back. And I think these ladies are just inspiring them to start that.
Kia Nurse, her brother will be busy soon, Darnell, from the Edmonton Oilers. That's so funny, because the girl that we just heard, her brother is also in the NHL. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
It's Jamie Oleksiak.
Oleksiak with the Dallas Stars.
All right. Players-only meeting for the Montreal Impact. You hear players-only meeting, and you go, ooh. And goalkeeper Evan Bush said, don't go, ooh.
Yeah, I think, you know, you guys, the media, I should say, in general, makes a big deal out of players-only meetings, when in reality, players-only meetings happen all the time. It's just, you know, you guys were here waiting to see us come out at a certain time, and we didn't come out at that time. So there wasn't any, earth-shattering things that were said in those meetings. Everyone, everyone's on the same page with what needs to get done and what the mindset needs to be going forward. And sometimes it's a good refresher just to have those meetings with just the players, no staff or anything like that, to make sure everyone's on the same page. And the positive of it is that everyone is on the same page. We're not a conflicted locker room or anything like that. So from that standpoint, I think we're in a good spot.
Evan Bush, and so you cover the Impact on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's
he's right. It's your fault.
You it's
your
my fault.
Completely.
It's media. So I'm
personally.
The media. That's Sean Farrell from NHL.com. Also, and you write for the Impact for
MLS.com.
MLS.com. Mm-hmm. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, I've got all the leagues sewn up. Working on it.
What about our baseball team?
Exactly.
He used to. All right. Grant here has an update coming up, and we will talk baseball. I'll talk with General Manager Neil Huntington. He's the GM of the Pittsburgh Pirates, has a history with this city. He was part of that 94. Unbelievable, the amount of people and the great people that were associated with that organization, how deep they were not only on the field, but in the front office, and how deep that went. Neil Huntington of the Pirates coming up after Grant's update, coming up after this. That's a lot of coming up. It is time now for a Sports Night Tonight Sports Update with the one and only Grant Robinson.
Bad news for Canada today. Jamie Benn has withdrawn from the World Cup. He's still recovering from core muscle surgery in July. Huge loss for Canada as he has more points in the last two seasons than anybody else in the NHL. Logan Couture will replace him. Not too bad of a replacement as he led the playoffs in scoring last year with 30 points for the San Jose Sharks. The Ottawa Senators have signed D-man Cody Ceci to 2 years, $5.6 million. And in the UFC, Conor McGregor, fresh off his win in the highly entertaining rematch versus Diaz. Oh,
thank God, because we haven't heard his name in, like, must be 18 hours now.
You're not going to hear it for a few months because he's been handed a six-month medical suspension due to leg injuries he suffered while kicking Diaz. Well, you only fight every 4 or 5 months anyway, so it won't be a huge loss.
He'll do something.
He'll find a way. Yeah. I agree. In the Olympics, we talked about how great Rio was for Canada. The country apparently agreed as the primetime average was 2.35 million, 23%. More than London. Now, whether that's a time zone factor, we won't get into that. But the most watched event, Elliot, what do you guess?
The most watched event
here
was,
in Canada.
Let's see, but timing wise, I'd have to go with Derek Drouin's high jump medal.
I don't know how much his was watched, but it was the 200-meter sprint final.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
7.2 million people tuned in.
Got me.
So that's there. But
I would have said that if I was smart.
If it was multiple choice, you would have got it, I'm sure. And in baseball, the Blue Jays' Kevin Pillar has been activated from the DL and is in the lineup. More good news, they expect Jose Bautista back on Thursday. They are currently playing the Angels. R.A. Dickey's on the mound. They lead 4-2 in the bottom of the fifth. The Red Sox, who are tied for the AL East lead, are up on the Rays 2-0 in the fourth. And the Pittsburgh Pirates, whose GM, Neil Huntington, will be on with us next, leads 6-0 versus Houston. Planko 3-for-3, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs so far. And that's a Sportsnet Tonight Sports Update.
We passed the audition.
Right. Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Glad to welcome General Manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Neil Huntington. How are you doing?
We're doing great, Elliot. It's fantastic to reconnect with you and hope you're doing well also.
I'm doing well. Your Pittsburgh Pirates do the same thing to you every year, don't they? Yeah, they torture you through the first couple of months of the season, and then they go, "Hey, no, we are going to contend." So here they are. Is that a tough way to live?
we joke that we like to do hard, and there are times where we'd love nothing more than to run 20 straight off and put ourselves in a easy position. But it's not meant to be. We're a young club. We're a talented club. We've had different growing pains. We've had different successes and different struggles each of the last 3 years, and then now here in this year four of contention. But it's a talented group, and we've evaluated as a club as capable of being one of the five National League teams that's alive in the postseason and has a chance to win a World Series. We've just got some work in front of us to make that happen.
You see what the Blue Jays have done over the last couple of days, sending down Aaron Sanchez, kind of save his arm and have him pitch later in the season. It's a tough decision for management when you're trying to win and also trying to keep your arms healthy, and you have some great young pitching. How careful do you have to be with those guys? And I mean, that's the future of your team right there.
Yeah, the easy criticism is that we're too conservative with them and that we should run them out. And if they get hurt, live with the consequences, because the chances are they won't get hurt. The reality is we need to be in the mindset of how do we put our organizations in position to win as many games as possible going forward. Yes, this year absolutely matters. You don't ever take being in postseason contention for granted. At the same time, that one injury, whether it's your shoulder or elbow, and some pitchers never recover, that can alter the face of your franchise going forward. So it is a delicate balance, and you want to respect it. And my hat's off to Mark and Ross with their discipline to work through this without just shutting you down. But they may get to a point where they have to do that. We've got some young arms that Jameson Taillon's coming back from Tommy John. We're monitoring his pitches, the stress level of his pitches. The easy monitor is the innings, but we would try to dig much deeper than that. But we're going to have young pitching going forward. Most small markets tend to do that. And if you look back in history, those young pitchers that spike in innings that go deep into October for the first time, more often than not, there is growing pain that you pay the price for in the following season. We don't want to sacrifice this season for next. We also don't want to sacrifice next season for this one.
Talking with Pittsburgh Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington, as Canadians, we'd like you to take care of Jameson Taillon's arm. He may have been born in the United States, but he has family and pitches for Canada when those tournaments come up, so we need him.
No question, and he's a great young pitcher. Comes from just an amazing family, obviously his dad with Canadian roots, and a family of achievers, does his country proud. When he went out there and pitched for Team Canada a few years back as a very young pitcher and more than held his own. But again, I think he's the lowest achiever in his family amongst his siblings. I think it's two lawyers and a doctor, and Jameson's just a Major League Baseball player. So pretty special family.
All right. So as general manager with a team that has gone through some incredibly tight, important baseball games over the last few years, do you watch each and every inning? Are there times where you can't watch, where you turn away, or you just turn it off and hope it's better when you come back?
Fortunately, I worked, again, back in Montreal with Dan Duquette and Jim Beatty, in Cleveland with John Hart and Mark Shapiro, and then, coming over here, have had the ability to recognize how demanding emotionally Major League Baseball is with 162 games. And we work hard to stay relatively even keel. Now, don't get me wrong, the emotional attachment, the engagement, and the amount of heart and soul and energy that we all invest in these things, you can't remain emotionless, but we want to make good decisions by staying logical and rational. And if we get caught up in a wave of emotion over time, we won't make very good decisions. Now, is it tough to watch a 2-2 slider get hit out of the ballpark for a loss, or is it thrilling to watch somebody drive a ball out to right center field to win a game? Absolutely. There are times where you're into it and you're hoping for the best and you don't get it, or the opposite, you do get it. But we try not to ride the roller coaster, and we try not to let emotions drive our process, and it's a long season, but man alive, when you lose a tough game, it's tough. You wake up the next day, you learn from it, you move forward, and get ready to go get it again, and the same way you learn from your successes.
Well, I think it could be argued that no team has lost tougher games than the Pittsburgh Pirates over the last couple of years. That wild card game, I mean, that's it, right? 162 games to play one, and if you don't win that one, then it's a long winter, and you guys have done it more than you should.
Yeah, we would, that wild card game in 2013, which was the first postseason appearance in 20 years, the first winning season in 20 years here in Pittsburgh, will forever be one of the most special professional moments I'll have. Now, hopefully there's bigger and better things coming, a World Series win, a World Series appearance, a league championship win. But for a city that had fallen on hard baseball times, to reengage a fan base, to see the energy in the ballpark that night was just awesome. Now, we lost that same game in 2014. We lost it in 2015. And, yeah, it's tough to walk out of the ballpark that night knowing that you came so close and you came so far and your season's over in one game, one swing of the bat, Brandon Crawford hitting a grand slam home run, or one swing of the bat, a couple swings of the bat against the Cubs, and you run into one of the hottest pitchers in the game in recent history, and Baumgartner 2 years ago at the start of a stretch, and Arrieta really in the middle of a stretch. But you wake up the next day, Elliot, and you go to work to put your club in a position to make the postseason again the next year, and hopefully as many years in the future as possible.
With Neil Huntington, general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, his team in another race, and a whole lot of baseball to be played. Neil was part of a great front office with the Montreal Expos. You surprised? I mean, here's Dan Duquette, and he's got the Orioles right there, and it took him so long to get another job, and he's one of the best baseball men that the game has known over the last 25 years.
Dan, I will always be grateful to Dan. He gave me my first opportunity in baseball, and while it was about a year and a half that I actually worked for him, I learned so much from him in that year and a half. And he was so far ahead of the game at that point in time in terms of the value of analytics and the balancing of subjective scouting with objective analysis. And again, I took away a ton from him. Wished I'd had the opportunity to work longer with him, but he had a chance to go work for his hometown team, the Boston Red Sox, and really his fingerprints are all over the early success that club had after he'd been let go. And it did. It surprised me that it took Dan as long as it did to get back into the game. As smart as he is, as good a person as he is, as good a baseball man as he is, and the success in Baltimore is evidence of that. And he's a very talented man, and still consider him a friend and a mentor, and will be eminently grateful to him for all that he's done for me.
Dale Huntington, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I'm proud of you. You've done a hell of a job. And remember, just one step at a time, getting through the minor leagues and getting to the major leagues as a general manager, and the great job you've done with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I hope they win a championship for you.
Well, thank you, Elliot. I've been fortunate to be around many, many great people during my days in Montreal, my days in Cleveland. We've got a tremendous group here, and you put a group of very talented people together, you stay out of their way and work to make good decisions, and some good things will happen. But we've got just, again, a great group of people here. I loved my time in Montreal, and I wish everybody up there well, and wish Mark and Ross success in Toronto. They're friends and mentors as well, and I know they've had some tough times out of the gate, but they're very talented, very good people, and the Blue Jays are in good hands.
And so are the Pirates. Smart organization. You hired my good buddy Joe Block to do your play-by-play. He's a great guy, and he does a great job for you.
Well, yes, he has. He's been a quality addition. He's got some Pittsburgh ties with his wife, and there's a very good chance Joe will be in Pittsburgh a heck of a lot longer than I will, and that'll probably make the fans happy. So we're good. Elliot, great catching up with you.
Said to catch up with Neil Huntington, general manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Speaks well of the city of Montreal. Well, he grew up in Amherst, New Hampshire. So you grow up in New Hampshire, where do you go? You go to Boston, you go to Montreal. What are the big cities? You know,
definitely make that Montreal trip.
Absolutely. It's funny listening to John LeClair talking about coming up to Montreal, you know. American, but, you know, right on the border there. He might as well be from Montreal. Anyway, the voice you hear, not usually with us. In fact, never with us. Well, in spirit. He's with us in spirit. our good buddy Sean Farrell from NHL.com and MLS.com, and we've got a lot to talk about, so why don't we take a break, and we'll come on back, and we'll talk some Impact, some NHL, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Don't forget, just after the top of the hour, we continue our National Football League countdown with DK Daniel Kalis. He'll bring us team number 12. Sorry if you're a fan of the Browns, the Niners, the Titans, the Ravens, the Lions, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Rams, the Falcons, the Bears, the Dolphins, Washington, the Eagles, the Saints, the Cowboys, the Bills, the Jets, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Texans, because they've already been taken care of. So your team is not in the top 12. My team is in the top 12. Unless, of course, it's somebody else's poll, and then maybe they're not. But I don't care. And I did not pay Daniel to put the Raiders
that
at least in the top 11.
There was no agreement.
All right, we got a lot to talk about, and we'll do that next. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson on CFMB 1280 Montreal.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
I am. I'm listening. And Sean Farrell is in with us, and we'll do a whole thing on the Impact coming up next hour, so let's talk some hockey, shall we? Montreal Canadiens, sure, with an incredibly frenetic off-season.
Yeah.
I mean, they will not resemble last year's team when they open up. And they so what? They wanted just to leave that behind in the best way they could so that this won't look anything like that? Is that how we got here?
It's a wonder how we got here. But, you know, when we look at the team this coming season, the biggest addition is the return of Carey Price. That's front and center above all else, which is quite something when you're talking about Shea Weber being your top defenseman, P.K. Subban not being there as your top defenseman, the addition of Alexander Radulov, the addition of Andrew Shaw up front.
See, here's the thing. We don't know how long Carey Price will be healthy. It may be 10 years. It may not be.
I thought you meant
this. We don't know how fragile.
That's got to be, that's got to be the biggest concern about this team going forward. Is you look at what happened to the Canadians in 2014 when Carey went down. Dustin Tokarski, third on the depth chart.
Right. They were ill-prepared, and they never fixed that problem. And they might have been a playoff team, but everything shut down. Everything went bad and then got worse, and it was uncorrectable at some point. But if they were to lose Carey Price this year, I think they could still compete for a playoff spot, but they certainly couldn't win anything. And that has to be scary, because this is their future. They don't need him to be healthy for the first week of the season. They need him to be healthy going forward.
And right off the top, he's going to be playing not just at NHL level. He's going to be playing international.
You have a problem with that? It sounds like
I don't have a problem with it. But and if anything, I would argue that it's actually a really good thing, because they're going to know where they stand. Because there really isn't a higher level of hockey than the Stanley Cup playoffs than he's going to face in that tournament. It's going to be intense, but he's going to have to face the world's best players.
I think he needs to be great, because, like you said, first of all, he's definitely the biggest addition, and this is probably the most improved offseason Montreal's had in how long. They've added some very key pieces.
Well, we'll see. Radulov, and I believe he's going to be a good player. But this is the guy that they've not been able to acquire, right?
Exactly.
He's not a guy who's done it and hasn't now done it for the last. He didn't score 13 goals a year before, like Semin or whatever it is. He's a guy who should be in his prime, and if he scores, he's ready to be a player in this league. And he certainly looks like. And look, he could change on a dime, right? But he looks like the attitude is there, and he could be. And I have this feeling that he's going to be at least. To start the best free agent signing this offseason. And then who knows what happens? We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it really is potentially the best free agent signing. And when you think about it, it makes sense. The numbers are there. The production was there in Russia. We saw him in the Olympics a few years ago. He was Russia's best player, which maybe isn't saying much considering their performance. But no, I mean, let's get serious. He was playing against the world's best players and making his presence felt. Whether he's going to sustain it, I'd be willing to go out on a limb and say that's likely. It's certainly come in the right way. It certainly looks to be motivated. He was very comfortable dealing with the press yesterday, so that's not an issue. And he said he welcomes the pressure, which is also a good thing.
Now, you come here knowing what the questions are going to be, so you have the answers and you're ready to go. We'll see. Because Nashville is not pressure, right? Russia is not pressure. You come to Montreal in the National Hockey League and you'll find out what pressure is. No, I don't think anybody in the National Hockey League is going to be under more pressure than Shea Weber. Not a single player in the NHL.
That's quite possible, but I would think that there probably aren't that many players out there who would be as equipped to deal with it the way that Shea Weber is. I don't think he'll be fazed by it. He's certainly got somebody in Carey Price that he can turn to if he needs any advice in that regard, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's the kind of guy that's just going to let his play talk for itself.
And that's something else that the Canadians didn't have last year. I know they didn't have Carey Price between the pipes, but they didn't have Carey Price in the dressing room.
Oh.
And as much as, you know, Pacioretty had the C on his chest, the Montreal Canadiens captain is Carey Price. Always was, always will be, except when you're hurt and you're not in that dressing room. And so the leadership void left without that guy, who also is their best player, was significant in helping this team fall apart last year.
No matter what the players say, no matter what management says, the proof is in the pudding. The results reflect it. There had to be something wrong. We talk about chemistry all the time in terms of teams, when teams are winning, when teams are losing. It's clear that there was something that was off with that team. And you look at the trade that they made. I mean, if P.K. Subban is your guy, then you're splitting hairs about trading Subban for Shea Weber. Does Shea Weber blow your doors off that much that you're gonna make that trade? It certainly presents them with a justifiable alternative, and it's certainly a different direction for the team. And I'm not saying that P.K. Subban was the problem in that room, but there was clearly something off with that team. You don't take one player out of the equation and have a team just change.
Well, 100%. And you saw it, like, again, Carey Price leaving any team, they could have the best chemistry. There is going to be a fall off, no question. But they were almost leading the league in goals at that point. If you remember, at the beginning of the year, they were scoring goals. They didn't need Carey Price to be great. Now, once he leaves...
You know, it was nine games.
The Canadians had
the greatest nine games in the history of the team, but it's an 82-game schedule.
But they could score
actually, teams, every you team in the league is going to, not to that level, but every team in the league is going to have a 10-game span when they're going to look like the best team in the league.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the nine games. Okay. It was the 2 months. It was the first 2 months. It was up till Carey got injured the second time, and they even continued it for a few games after. Yeah. I mean, in December, everyone was looking around and going, well, you know, they lost a close one. There were a whole bunch of games that they should have won. But by January, the games they were losing in January, they were just... I mean, how could you go from being the team that started the season on fire, one of the best starts in the history of the Montreal Canadiens, and if you dissect it, that four-month finish was one of the worst.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a drop-off. It was really just completely... If they were scoring two goals a game, they weren't scoring, they weren't getting it done.
That truck... It was getting for the cliff.
Oh, it was the same. But you see teams fall apart, and it's that, whether it's because there's no leader there to get you back, whatever it is, there was a lot of things contributing to that, and that was, this team is gonna bounce back because they are better than they showed in that 4 month span. They've added better pieces, and you're gonna have the centerpiece back, but you better hope you get it together in the next 2 years, because Carey Price isn't going to be making $6.5 million 2 years from now if he's healthy, and Max Pacioretty's not going to be making his either. You know, you have a window, and it's there. You got to take advantage.
Let's circle back to where we started with Carey and the question of Carey's health. And one big factor in Carey's health going forward is how protected, how safe he is in that crease. Boy, oh boy, you can't get a better guy than Shea Weber to protect him.
That's a very good point.
Every opponent that played him said, he's the toughest guy in the league to play against.
Going to get a glimpse of Carey Price, and that's important. But all of it, Shea Weber, you're going to get an opportunity to see him.
Yep.
What we don't know, and we probably won't get, is P.K. Subban. Why do other general managers and the ones that run Team Canada have such a negative view of P.K. Subban? We'll take that up in the next hour. But coming up, we'll continue with our National Football League countdown. Team number 12, Daniel Kalis, will join us after the update coming with Grant Robinson.
Elliot.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
It's time for another Sportsnet Tonight sports update with Grant Robinson. What's going on?
Bad news for Team Canada today. Jamie Benn has withdrawn from Canada for the World Cup. He's still recovering from core muscle surgery. Huge loss for the team, obviously, as he's got more points in the last two seasons than anybody else in the league. And obviously, paired up with Tyler Seguin would have been a dangerous duo. But the good news is they replace him with the leading scorer of the playoffs last season. Logan Couture, with his 30 points for the San Jose Sharks, will now play for Team Canada at the World Cup. In baseball today, Josh Hamilton, the great comeback story in baseball, is going to need another one if he plans to continue his career, as he's been released by the Rangers. Elliot mentioned to me earlier he shouldn't worry because he seemed to have been able to do this a few times in his career where he gets back in shape. So maybe we'll see him.
As long as he doesn't like reintroduce himself to significant drug use, then he should be all right.
Still one of the craziest comebacks I've ever heard. But moving on to the Blue Jays, Kevin Pillar has been activated from the DL and is in the lineup tonight. Obviously a huge addition. Speaking about those, Jose Bautista is expected back on Thursday, so it's looking like all hands will be on deck for the Blue Jays there. They are playing the Angels tonight. R.A. Dickey was on the mound, which usually is a bad thing. Tonight, not so much. They lead 6-2. He's pitched very well. He's still going in the seventh inning. But bad news for the Blue Jays is the two teams chasing them. The Red Sox are tied. Orioles two games back. Orioles are up 6-0 versus Washington, and the Red Sox right now are up 2-1 on the Rays. And that's a Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
Elliot.
So you're an expert.
That's right, tough guy.
Hey! Who is your daddy?
Elliot.
And what does he do?
Zip up, nada.
Hey!
Elliot.
C'est moi.
Elliot.
You're an expert.
Yes.
Elliot.
Hey!
Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
You're not an expert.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
What do you mean I'm not an expert?
He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Okay,
all right. Welcome back to the show. That's part of the show. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson sitting in with us tonight to Sean Farrell.
Hello.
How you doing? You doing all right?
Just great.
What's your favorite National Football League team?
The New England Patriots.
The New England Patriots. Yeah. All right. Well, it was nice having you here.
I feel the same way when I hear about the Raiders.
Ready? Show them the door. What's your problem with the Raiders? Why would a Patriot fan ever?
Oh, I love
with
the Raiders now. I think the Raiders are playing just the way I love the Raiders to play.
That's all going to change.
That was
well,
great.
So I hear.
It's all going to change.
I hope they're just building
it. In the next few years, you're going that away?
Well, that's quite possible.
And we're going that away.
That's quite possible.
I understand. But you know what? They're not team number 12, so they're still alive. Well, and so is your team.
They are?
In the National Football League countdown.
I thought they were...
They're in our top 11.
Of course they
are. Because as we bring in Daniel Kalis, they play in a soft division, you know. it's time to name team number 12.
Team number 12 is the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right. Kansas City at team number 12, which is good news for the Raiders, because I believe that leaves just one team, and that's the defending Super Bowl champion, the Denver Broncos. That's weird to say, the defending Super Bowl champions. And both quarterbacks that were there last year are gone. That's just that's just weird. So here's what we're going to do, Dan. All right? I got it all figured out now. Because I thought, what we're going to do, we're going to enter that last week, we're going to have three teams left, and if we do one team and then another team, then everyone will know who number one is on that last day. We're not doing that, all right?
Okay.
Next week, we're counting down to number four, and then on Wednesday, the day before the season starts, we're going to name our top three. That's what we're going to do.
Ooh, I like that. I like the sound of that.
Me too. Especially since Monday is Labor Day and Tuesday is your football pool. I thought that would fit in. Anyways, Kansas City is number 12, and they certainly look like a team that was trending over the last couple of years. Why aren't they closer to the top with everything that they've managed to do since Andy Reid came over?
The questions with them right now is that their offense is basically the same. They added Mitchell Schwartz, right tackle, one of the best right tackle on the market. But they got one big question mark on offense, and that's the return of Jamaal Charles, who had a season-ending injury last year. But the other big question marks are on defense. So right now, they got, all-pro sack master Justin Houston is not likely to be able to start the season, and it's even possible that the worst-case scenario, he might not even play this year. They got Taba Khalid, who's just coming back, you know, into health and getting ready and practicing. But, you know, he's had a surgery in the offseason, so he's coming back from that. And then they got, you know, the safety, Eric Berry, all-pro, who's been holding out because they franchise-tagged him, couldn't get him to the long-term deal. So he hasn't been in camp yet. Everyone is saying that he's going to be there. He seems like the type of team guy that's going to be there, and I don't think he wants to miss a paycheck. But, you know, when you haven't been in camp at all, no matter how good you are, you haven't had the reps. I don't care what you're doing, you know, on your own working out. It's still not the same as being out there with the team, getting the reps in. So that's three big question marks on defense. And until we know how that's going to play out, I think that leaves them as a team in a bit of a question mark.
Talking about that offense, to me, Kansas City, it's been this for the past few years. Jamaal Charles carries that offense. He's been one of the most dominant and consistent running backs in the NFL, but missed 11 games last year. A lot of people are calling him injury-prone, wondering whether he'll stay healthy this year. What do you expect from this year, from him this year, and do you really consider him injury-prone?
Look, I think that anyone who's, if I'm not mistaken, he's going to be 31 years old, the guy coming off being 31 years old, coming off a major injury like that, missing all those games. Yeah, usually that's a question mark that you're not sure you want to, you know, you want to give him that many carries. So what I think happened last year is, if you saw, they started out the year 1-5. He got injured, and all of a sudden the team took off. They saw with Spencer Ware and Chadwick West that these guys can put up numbers, and they don't need to, you know, rely totally on Charles. So I think what's going to happen is they're going to let Charles play. They're going to give him his due, but they're going to keep him fresher by using these other guys, because they realize they don't just have to rely on him. He's not the guy that has to do everything. And so I don't think that you're going to see him have to put all the pressure on him. In terms of injury prone, he's had two seasons where he played 5 games or less, and every other season he's played 15 games or more. And so there's been 6 seasons where he's done that, and only 2 seasons where he hasn't, you know, played those 4 games. So it's tough to tell, but again, he has a lot of carries on his body. He's going to be, sorry, it's not 31, he's going to be 30 in the season. I think they're just going to spread the carries out. They've got a solid O-line to run behind, and I think they're just going to, you know, spread, like most teams, they're not going to rely on just one guy.
Yeah, you know what? It's pretty funny that here we are with team number 12, Alex Smith, as your quarterback, and team number 31, the Niners, and they don't even know what Colin Kaepernick is going to do. I mean, while we've come a long way, Alex Smith was thought to be a caretaker kind of quarterback. He still hasn't been able to push a team over the hump. He's gotten close. Does he have it in him to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he did win a couple of, or a game or two that one, that early year, in San Fran, before they turned to Colin Kaepernick. He played better down the stretch also last year when they did have to rely on him a little bit more without Jamaal Charles. I think getting Macklin last year was huge for them, because as everyone knows, the year before they didn't even have one touchdown pass to a wide receiver, partially because they didn't pass the ball enough and partially they just didn't have good receivers. But I think with Macklin, I think tight end Travis Kelce is one of the better tight ends in the league, and they're hoping that either one of the young guys, Albert Wilson or Conley, if these guys can step up and you know, make positive progress in their game, that can help Alex Smith out. I think the way Andy Reid likes to run his team is we're never going to see Alex Smith be that big time quarterback. He doesn't have a big enough arm to, you know, throw downfield enough. But I think if you can have a good combo between him and the running game, and the defensive guys get healthy, I think that's what they need. They just need him to not make mistakes.
Well, I think one of the keys to the offense, like you said, Jeremy Macklin, we saw what he could do last year. Really helped out Alex Smith. But my question is, when is Andy Reid going to realize what he has in Travis Kelce and start using him more? He's one of the most athletic tight ends in the league, and we see the transition to these big bodies who can run, yet Andy Reid seems to just go to him, not like the rest of the top tight ends. Why is that, and will we see him do that this year?
Look, you know, Andy Reid's had a very successful coaching career, although sometimes the big question with him has always been his game management. Usually it's with the clock, but it's also with sometimes how he uses players. It's a big question mark to me as well, because like you said, the guy is dominant. There's not a lot of defensive guys. He's a very tough cover for safety because he's big and he can run. For linebackers, he's often too quick for them. So he's really tough to cover, and he can move all over the field. Hopefully, he was banged up the year before. Maybe that's why it took him a little while to get going. But I think this year is the year that we're going to see Kelce really, you know, take that next step to being, I don't want to say in the Gronk, you know, league, but more likely in the you know, Jordan Reed with the Greg Olsen, these guys. He's going to be in the next echelon of tight ends. I think you're going to see more touchdowns from him, because they're going to look for him in the red zone. But I just think that Andy Reid likes to have a balanced offense. You see with all the positions, they get good numbers from the tight end. They got good from Macklin. The combo running back put up well. Everyone put up good numbers. No one just puts up numbers that jumps off the board.
Which kind of leads into my question, and that is Andy Reid the right guy to be running this team? And is he on any kind of short leash?
I think that, I don't know, it's hard to say that he's on a short leash because of the position he has with the team. I don't know the exact title, whether it's the president, vice president of football operations, but the only guy that can fire him is the owner. He doesn't have a GM that can fire him like other coaches do. I think he's got at least another year in him because of some of these defensive injuries. When you lose a guy like Justin Houston for, you know, probably at least half the season, if not the full season, I think that allows Andy Reid a little bit more of a leash. Except for one year, they've been a good competitive team. And I think the division is a little bit more up for grabs this year because Denver isn't as strong. So I think his leash is at least another year, even if they don't, I don't think that they're a team that's going to win the Super Bowl. I think they're a team that can win a playoff game. After that, I think it's all up in the air.
We're with Daniel Kalis, who covers the National Football League for Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price here in Montreal, CFMB 1280 AM. Andy Reid is also a guy who likes Nick Foles. Nick Foles had a pretty good preseason game on the weekend, going 18 for 22. Does Nick Foles ever end up running the Kansas City offense?
Unless Alex Smith gets injured or, you know, is absolutely terrible, I just don't see it. I think it was a good safety net in terms of if Alex Smith does get injured, he's got familiarity. I also think that Alex Smith is a free agent after this year, so that's a possibility that maybe they think Foles could be someone they might want to have, depending on how this year goes in the future. I think it's just a simple matter of wanting to have familiarity. You know, they are a team that's going to compete for the playoffs, and they don't want to miss a beat if Alex Smith goes down. And the fact is, Alex Smith is a nice quarterback, and he's a game manager. He's by no means, you know, some kind of superstar quarterback that if he were to go down, you know, going to Nick Foles after, I don't think is that big of a drop-off, even though I don't think much of Nick Foles, just because of how Andy Reid is going to run the offense. They've got a strong O-line. They don't ask the quarterback to make too many big plays, to, you know, put too much on their shoulders. So, look, I don't think he's going to see the field unless there's an issue in terms of injury or Alex Smith just is absolutely terrible.
All right, Daniel, we're on the precipice of the top 10. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right, Kansas City. The Browns, the Niners, the Titans, the Ravens, the Lions, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Rams, Falcons, Bears, Dolphins, Washington, Eagles, Saints, Cowboys, Bills, Jets, Colts, Jaguars, Texans. And tonight, team number 12 in our countdown of the National Football League with Dan Kalis is Kansas City.
Kansas City, baby, Kansas City, here I come. I'm going to Kansas City, baby, Kansas City, here I come. They got some mighty pretty women there, and I'm gonna get me one.
I'm gonna be standing on the corner of 12th Street and by.
Take a boat, I might take a train, but if I have to walk, you know I'm going there just the same. I'm going to Kansas City, baby. Kansas
All right, there you go. Willie Nelson, Susan Tedeschi. They're going to Kansas City. I'm not going to Kansas City, although I've been to Kansas City, and I would have to say in the rating of all-time press room food in Major League Baseball, and I've been to just about all of them, that it would rank top five.
Please tell me they have barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
In the press room.
It's Kansas City, baby. Well, and great dessert.
Mm.
Great dessert. The best, however, this is a good story. The best, first of all, the worst was in San Francisco, which is okay because they have awesome concession food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, I mean, they have chili, edible bowl chili. They have They have Japanese. They have you name it. I mean, Chinese, you can eat anything at the ballpark in San Francisco. It's terrific. But in Pittsburgh, talking about press room food, right? And the guy who worked the executive dining room retired. And so they took the guy from the press room and they moved him. And then this guy wanted to go back to work. So they put him in the press room. And he made meals that the press has never seen and has never seen since.
I bet.
Outstanding. It was like off the charts. Where did this guy come from?
Dream come true.
Oh, unbelievable. So there you go. So Kansas City. And we're down to our top 11. So it's getting interesting, getting exciting. The Montreal Impact. I don't know what to say after their game on the weekend. Sean covers them. We'll hear from Evan Bush and Mauro Biello coming up, and we'll get Sean Farrell's opinion on just what the hell went down and where are we going with this now. That's coming up next.
Price.
Is anybody listening? I'm emotional.
Price. Holy cow.
Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
Ding, ding, ding.
Elliot Price.
C'est une déception.
Elliot Price.
I'm losing it.
Elliot Price.
Saludos, my friends, and you know who you are. You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host,
Elliot Price.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know, we have a veteran group in the locker room. We have a group that's, you know, been through tough times, and we found ways to rebound. And I think that's important at this time, is not to overreact to one specific game. You know, it's obviously it was a shame that it happened, and even more of a shame that it happened at home. But at the end of the day, it was one game, and we move forward now, and we have another game of importance, you know, coming tomorrow. So we'll just move on and, you know, try to approach this game on Wednesday with a different mindset and different mentality.
All right. That's Evan Bush, keeper for the Impact after an embarrassing loss at home. And he says, forget and rebound. And then after that, he goes, well, you can't forget everything. There's some things that we just can't forget that need to be taken care of.
You know, sometimes when there's reoccurring themes throughout the course of, you know, a couple weeks, a couple months, things like that, where, you know, the same mistakes are being made, you need to look at certain things and you need to address certain things. But at the same time, you know, it's, you don't want to dwell too much on that game, because we have had good performances throughout the course of the year. And, you know, I was thinking about it a little bit, you know, last night. And the shameful part is that a lot of the bad performances have been at home. And for whatever reason that is, you know, maybe we think it's going to come a little bit easier at home. And we shouldn't have that mindset, because, you know, a lot of times it's harder at home. You know, teams sit a little bit deeper. They make it harder for you. And we've been caught, you know, a couple times now at home. So we need to sort that out. And, you know, I think, you know, it's sometimes a loss like that to a team like Chicago, being embarrassed on your home field, is a good wake-up call. And it's a good time to become alert of what the situation is. And hopefully we take that wake-up call and turn around.
There's the keeper, Evan Bush. Sean Farrell, forced to watch. Forced to watch this debacle on the weekend. And look, you're going into that one and you're thinking, all right. And I can, it's a trap game, right? I mean, you're saying, oh, well, here's 3 points. And boy, I hope we can beat DC on Wednesday.
You know, I think fans approach games that way. I don't think pro teams approach games in that regard. That said, there's something to the way the Impact have played at home this season. I've seen enough games where they've come out just firing. The offense looks like it's going to break through. And then they trip up. They fall behind. And this has not been their fortress, which they've referred to it, you know, Fortress Saputo in the past. And it has had that kind of a feel about it, but it definitely has not had that feel this season. And at this stage of the game, as they're heading into the stretch run, they've got to get comfortable playing at home. They've got to take it by the scruff of the neck and run with it.
Now, we've heard over and over again that this team needs to do something about the defense, that it just it doesn't measure up for a championship team. And queried once again today, Coach Mauro Biello says, you know what? We need more offense. If we have the ball, the other team won't have it.
You know, sometimes what we need to look at is sometimes you defend better when you have the ball. And if you're a team that's able to keep the ball, that means you're defending better. You know, it's I know it's funny to say, but I think we need to do a better job of keeping the ball and let the other team chase a little bit more, especially at home. And I think if we're able to do that, they have less of the ball and less chances to break us down, and we have the ball and the opportunity to break them down. So I want us to take care of the ball a lot better this game going forward.
Sean Farrell?
Well, you know, through injuries this season and Simon playing in the Euro, it's been hard to have the back line out there, to have consistency in that regard. But that's got to come together. It does seem kind of obvious what Mauro is saying about, you know, the best defense in this sense being a good offense. But I do get what he's saying. They do have to have that ball up a bit more, a little less pressure on the defense. That said, you know, when we were talking earlier about forgetting a game and what they've gone through, that past game, the good thing is they've got tomorrow, they get right at it. They do get a chance to put it behind them. And as far as forgetting and not forgetting the things that they have to change, yeah, but they want this. The way they want to remember the game from Saturday night is that hopefully is their low point of the season.
As you say, you know, quick turnaround and an opportunity to put it behind them quickly. But as Coach points out, not a whole lot of time to work on the things that they need to work on.
I think it's important, the fact that you lose a game and you want the next one to come as quick as possible so you can redeem yourself. That's for sure is a good thing. You know, now do we have time to work on certain things? No, but in the end, we had a lot more meetings and video and analysis on different things, and I think that's part of the work week when you have three games in a week. But in the end, we need to rebound, and we need to be focused on what we could control and have a good performance.
Sean asked a good question while we were off the air. He said, if the hip belongs to Canada, who does Warren Zevon belong to? And I said, me. I can't imagine there's a bigger Zevon fan anywhere than me. I told this story before. We're in Chicago, and we're in the press box at Wrigley Field, and it's a day game. Go figure. Day game in Chicago at Wrigley Field. And Jeff Blair, who we hear a lot on this show with a lot of the work that he does on the Blair Show in Toronto. And Jeff and I spent a lot of time together on the road.
Yeah.
And Jeff comes over, opens up the Sun Times, and there's a picture of Warren Zevon. And it's an ad. And it says, appearing tonight.
Oh, wow.
Appearing tonight at the Park West in Chicago. I'm trying to think, was that like Club Soda here? Just crazy. No way. Day game, night Zevon. And that's the only opportunity I had to see him. And we had just gone through a time where we were at the Expos Fantasy Camp, and he was appearing there and had no idea. We were all wrapped up in the Fantasy Camp, and he was there while we were there, and we didn't go see him because didn't know he was playing.
Okay.
And then I got an opportunity to see him in Chicago. And, of course, there's no more opportunities to see Warren Zevon.
No.
So, crazy stuff. All right, we'll take a break. We have Sean Farrell in studio. We'll talk some hockey coming up. World Cup is coming up, and there are many questions about this team and about other teams, and how will different countries mesh when, because this is something that's never been done before. It's always been, I am American, I play for America, I am Canadian, I play for Canada, I am whatever, and I play, but now what? You know, it's a little weird, and we'll talk about that. Grant's got an update. Before that, you're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price in Montreal. On CFMB 1280 AM. Time now for a Sports Night Tonight sports update with Grant Robinson.
In baseball, the Blue Jays today got some good news. Kevin Pillar has been activated from the DL. He's back in the lineup, patrolling the outfield. And Jose Bautista is supposed to be back on Thursday. That's what the team is expecting. So that's some great news for the Blue Jays there. Some more good news. R.A. Dickey was on the mound today and looked really solid. Went almost seven innings, allowed only six hits, two runs.
Good news is he's out of the game, Grant.
Well, hey, he went seven innings tonight. It went well. They lead 6-2 in the bottom of the eighth, so one more half inning.
Joe Biagini's in there right now. I'm looking at his numbers. It's absolutely ridiculous. A Rule 5 pickup, right? So the minor league organizations can't keep everybody. And so every now and then there's one guy that everybody likes, you know, and each team goes down, then they get this one guy, and eventually they send him back to his team because he's not ready for the major leagues, and that's why he was available. Biagini right now, as a Rule 5 pickup, a 1.92 earned run average in 51 and two-third innings, 46 strikeouts, 13 walks. By the way, only one Rule 5 player has ever made it to the Hall of Fame.
I think we're getting a little ahead of it. He's having a good little run here. I don't
know
about
Hall of Fame. I'm just telling you, one Rule 5 player. Roberto Clemente.
That's a pretty good pickup.
And guess where they tried to hide him?
Yeah, in Montreal. They tried to hide him in Montreal. He was like this great minor league player. And the Dodgers try to hide him in Montreal. And the Pirates picked him with the first pick. Hit him well. All right, go ahead.
Well, that's some good news for the Blue Jays. Like I said, it looks like they're heading on their way to a win, but they might not put distance between them and the rest of the division, as the Red Sox, who are currently tied with them, are up on the Rays 2-1 in the seventh, and the Orioles lead 6-0 versus Washington, so not looking good for the Blue Jays when it comes to gaining ground. But Conor McGregor, we talked about good news before for the Blue Jays, some bad news for Conor McGregor.
No.
Fresh off his big win, you know, got his comeback win, finally made it. He's got a 6-month medical suspension right now because of the leg injuries he sustained while kicking the other guy. That's
so
a tough sport.
I was reading today. Now, it's a possibility that neither guy is going to be able to fight. First of all, Diaz does not look good. Okay.
By the way.
And so what's the thing? He was in his post fight press conference. He was vaping. And
in front of the reporters.
And you got a 6-hour window where you couldn't, you know, whatever. And so now he could be suspended for 9 months.
I didn't realize that. I thought he must have had some where he knew he'd be fine. I guess not. Maybe he knows his only fight he wants is Conor McGregor. Everybody else he fights, he gets $40,000. He gets $2 million to fight McGregor. I think he realizes I'll wait until
McGregor
fights.
Well, if the other guy's
going to
be suspended for 6 months,
so
then he's got no
year.
Fight coming up.
So he's good in a year. There you go. That's there. Last news we'll tell you about. Jamie Benn has withdrawn from Canada for the World Cup, still recovering from core muscle surgery. His replacement will be Logan Couture. And stick around, because right after the break, we'll be talking World Cup with me, Elliot, and Sean Farrell, who's in studio with us today.
By the way, just a Joey Votto update, all right? He's 2-for-3 again tonight with a couple of runs batted in. And according to Buster Olney, since the All-Star break, Joey Votto, who said, if you remember the beginning of the season, terrible start, and he said, if I don't start hitting, I'm retiring. Joey Votto, since the All-Star break, is 56-for-123 with 29 walks.
Not too shabby.
All right. We'll talk hockey coming up, a little round table. Get you ready for the World Cup of Hockey, because you know what? It's right around the corner. Olympics are done. Hockey is coming. And so is our conversation on that subject. Next.
Elliot.
Price.
C'est moi.
Elliot.
I'm the guy.
There is not any man like him anywhere in the world.
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight.
Ding, ding, ding.
With Elliot Price.
Elliot Price.
On 1280 AM, Montreal.
Oh, the deep burn.
Sportsnet Tonight.
Oh.
Elliot Price.
Elliot.
It's on me.
Elliot.
I'm the guy.
There you go.
I like the ding, ding, ding.
You like the ding? I love the ding, ding, dings.
That's Freddie's favorite.
Saw it live.
Really?
That's Freddie's favorite. That or the laugh?
No.
Anything with Terry, he loves.
The best one is Smoke on the Water. Right? Isn't that? I think that's the best. I just like the ding. Yeah, well, he's all dinged up in that one. We'll see if we can't find that one for you while we're...
You're ruining all these classics for me, though, because now when I hear them, yeah. I hear these versions, because I hear them so often. So it's now, you're essentially in the Hall of Fame. That's what I consider this.
There you go. I'm going to find it. I will find it, and we will play it for you, because that's my absolute favorite. Anyways, lots of conversation concerning hockey, because here we go. We touched on it last hour. The way that National Hockey League general managers and the guys that run Team Canada look at P.K. Subban, because I'm going to tell you, he's not going to make this team again. The lefts and the rights, and I'm telling you, P.K. Subban is not, he's going to be the seventh defenseman again, and he's not going to play for Team Canada in the World Cup of Hockey.
That's right. He isn't. They've set the roster, and... He didn't play in the Olympics. He did play in the Olympics, but he didn't play in the Olympics. He wasn't their starting defenseman. He played one game. Babcock is very committed to a right-left combination on defense, and that's where he is.
Well, what do you guys think about that? Look, Subban and Letang, two of the best offensive defensemen in the league, are both left off this team. Like you said, the whole left and right, I completely get that. But do you think that's a mistake when you're going to look at the team's power play coming up? And you already have Brent Burns, you have Shea Weber. Could you have used these guys, Subban and Letang?
Well, the thing is, you can't... They're like at the Olympics, right? And Subban didn't play, and you won a gold medal. There is no other medal to win. It's not like you can argue with the results. Well, if PK was on the team, we would have won the platinum medal.
That is the thing about Canada at this point. And they're coming off that performance at the 2014 Olympics in Sochi. And has there been a more dominant hockey team ever than that performance in the Olympics? I mean,
no argument.
The 3-0 win over Sweden in the final was just... It was Canada from beginning to end. And I mean that when we talk about the third period. Think about the way that Canada played in the third period of those games. They dominated possession. I mean, Carey...
Four or five shots,
important.
I think, in that period.
Carey came up huge for them in that game against Kazakhstan? Or who was it? Lithuania? Latvia?
Was it Latvia?
Latvia. When, you know... Canada's system was all in. It was throwing everything but the kitchen sink at them without scoring. But the important thing is that he kept them there so that they could win it. And that was as close as it came in the whole tournament.
At one point in that game, remember the goalie? They called a timeout and they put him on a stool like he was in a boxing match. That's how tired the goalie was from all those shots. I'll always remember that. But yeah, he was very clutch in that.
So it is hard to argue against whatever they put together as a lineup, because that lineup was dominant. And take Jamie Benn coming out of the lineup today as an example. You take him in, you take him out of the lineup and you slot in Logan Couture. I mean, that's some pretty good depth.
I think this whole North American, European, it's just weird.
It is weird. The Team Europe concept, of course, is so that we wouldn't see Anze Kopitar.
Okay. Yeah,
and I get that one.
Right.
Okay, I get that one. You're getting to see players that you wouldn't normally see, and they don't have a country to play for. It's not like they're leftovers, right? This North American team.
If it weren't for Connor McDavid,
nobody would care.
Well, I mean, Eichel would probably make.
I meant for Team Canada, but yes, you're right.
That's how we got to divvy it up. And that is another part of the challenge here, is that you have a team composed not just of Canadians, you have a team composed of Canadians and Americans playing against an American team and playing against a Canadian team. You know, we were talking about it earlier. Who's going to be following that team? Well, I guess if they upset some teams, exactly.
We got hands up in the studio here.
Yeah. And
they'll be my second favorite team.
Right.
I think it's your first sometimes, the way you talk about them.
Well, you know what? I think that
It'll be exciting.
It's very possible that when they play Canada, I'll cheer for them. They're the underdog. They're the guys. They're the up and comers. That would be crazy for them to knock off a couple of the big countries.
You know what I was talking about before about 1 and 1A? I think they may have done themselves a disservice not by tweaking it and making it so that Connor McDavid could play for Canada. If Connor McDavid is good enough to play for Canada, of course, that weakens the North American team if he's not there. But it does make it odd that, you know, the Russians can have 18-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
There's no comparable...
You should be able to protect guy, right? Like the same way if you have a varsity team at your school, but there's a kid in grade 9 who's amazing and better than the kids on the varsity team, he moves up. You can move up in talent.
What they needed was more competitive countries or more competitive teams to make this a better tournament. That's what they needed. They couldn't keep bringing in these...
Germany.
Exactly. Germany or Japan or whatever it is. The Belarusians. They have very good players. They're just not going to win this tournament. And they're not going to be able to compete against some of the teams there. Maybe in a miracle, they pull off an upset in one of the games. But they were looking for teams that they could put together with more talent that would make for more competitive games. There will be, there's not a weak sister here, right? Everybody that's coming to this tournament is going to have an opportunity to win hockey games.
I think that's part of the plan here is to make sure that they are competitive across the board. And the young team is going to be, it's a really interesting science experiment when you look at it. I mean, you're going to have McDavid playing with Eichel, with, you know,
Austin Matthews.
It's different.
They've got a lot of talent. Galchenyuk should be on the team.
Absolutely.
That one's hard to figure.
Yeah, that is hard
Dylan
to figure.
Dylan Larkin's. They got some talent. If they win, then you're going to see it. I think it's very weird, like you said. You're going to have the back and forth of what's there, but will it be fun to watch? Yes, and I think that's what they're going for.
It's going to be curious to see what it does to the dynamic of the bragging rights.
All right, you know what? I just so happen to have some Connor McDavid talking about Team North America, so let's have a listen.
It's going to be a very good tournament. It's going to be highly competitive. It's the best players in the world. So for our team, it's going to be about defense and being responsible in the D zone. Offensively, I don't think we're going to have any trouble. So it's just going to be about keeping the puck out of our net. I'm very excited about our team that we have. And no, we definitely don't have too much pressure on us, which is always nice. So, can't wait to get it going.
All right, to Connor McDavid, here's my advice to you. Put in a call to Wayne Gretzky, okay? And when Wayne Gretzky was your age, he wasn't thinking, it's all about defense. We got to keep the puck out of our own net, okay? No one's expecting you guys to win. Take the puck, take it away from those other guys, and be the exciting young players that you are. Go fill up the other team's net. This is what I want to see.
It's going to be fascinating to see how they're going to compete. And Connor McDavid, wow.
You have the roster there?
For Team North America, yeah. If Canada's out, I'll go get it for you. Give me a second.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be so exciting to see what he's going to do at this level. I mean, you think about the injury he had last year and how he came back. And he nearly won the Calder.
Yep. He was the best rookie in the league, but he needed to play the whole schedule.
Yeah.
He's one of the best players in the NHL. He may very, very well be the best player in the NHL this season. It's gonna happen. The only question is when. And hockey's a funny thing, right? Because in hockey, these types of things happen right away, right? Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
And they came in, Mike Bossy. When they came in, they were there.
McDavid may even be their the Oilers' captain this season.
I think he's going to be their captain.
You ready?
Yeah, give us the North American roster.
So, not in any order, this is how they put it. Couturier, Jonathan Drouin, Jack Eichel, Johnny Gaudreau, Dylan Larkin, Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, JT Miller, Monahan from Calgary,
so Austin Matthews. Hopkins. Austin Matthews hasn't played a game in the National Hockey League.
And yet, that's his coming out party.
How can Galchenyuk not be on this team?
91 Canada Cup?
Brandon Saad and Scheifele to finish off the offense. So there's no guys
They're good.
And then defensively, this is where I think offensively they could compete with anybody.
You think they had to pick as many Americans as Canadians? Like they had to split it down the middle? Do we know what the break is there?
I don't know what the break is, but I don't think they
I don't know if they had to. Yeah, I think it was you have your choice. But defensively, Ekblad, who's great.
Yep.
Gostisbehere, we saw what he did. Seth Jones, Ryan Murray, Morgan Riley, Jacob Trouba, and Colton Parayko. And then goaltending,
I like
Gibson.
Colton Parayko.
Oh, he looked great in St. Louis for a guy who a team that doesn't need another defenseman, right? And it just they seem to grow out of trees there, just like Nashville. But defensively, you got Matt Murray, who we all saw what he could do at Pittsburgh, John Gibson, and then Hellebuyck from the Jets. So that's I think defensively and goaltending wise, it's going to be tough for them to compete with Canada. But it's a single elimination, right? Once you're there, get a goalie who's hot. Doesn't matter who's in nets.
All right. Continue with our conversation. Sean Farrell in studio live with us.
Woohoo!
Well, you don't want to know the alternative.
No, I don't.
As we finish off tonight's show, hope you're enjoying it. Talking sports around the camp lights in the studio. Grant Robinson, Sean Farrell, Elliot Price, and more upcoming. And I found the promo that I told you we need to hear.
Can't wait.
Me neither. I'm shaking here. That's next. Pedestrian. I know you're out there with rage in your eyes and your megaphones. Saying all is forgiven. Mad dog surrender. How can I answer? A man of my mind can do anything.
Sportsnet Tonight with your host, Elliot Price, right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
What do you mean I'm not an expert?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, that's outstanding.
He's good. He's good. Daniel Iorio. The one that Freddie likes, I think, is the Lust for Life one. I don't know if we can find that one. It's, but he's busy. You know what we forgot? We forgot to run What the Hell Are They Talking About? So have a listen. We'll do this, and we'll get back to our conversation. Not only that, but now Daniel has worked in an intro and an extra. So he's busy. He's busy. He's got nothing to do. So here's the latest. What the Hell Are They Talking About? This is Volume 12. Best of luck to all. Thanks for nothing. All right. I don't know what's going on when it comes. Hang on. We need it with the intro. Okay, let me try again. Let's try this here. Hello! Best of luck to all. Thanks for nothing. All right, I don't know what's going on when it comes to subject matter, ever.
We're not going to any subject. You've kind of taken that away.
All right, don't do that. Because I hate to tell you, a long time ago, he poked his English partner, not you.
My girlfriend was with me on one knee at that point, and I don't count it as a score.
And that's half the battle.
If they ever stay together, it's trouble.
How do you know this?
You got me all rattled. I don't even want to watch.
I didn't not watch when I would watch. I watched when I would watch. I don't want to confuse you here.
First of all,
it would be confusing to start with second of all. Okay. let me give you the opposite end of things, okay? Everybody out there knows that you're being a goofball.
Agreed?
I'm just saying. When you think about it and you say...
Don't tell me what time I can eat.
According to everybody else, turkey needs to be tended to.
Is not going to make people think you're a winner, except one, pretty much.
I wouldn't want to do that.
It's ridiculous.
And so are you. Certainly open for discussion. You could be the golf queen if you like. It'll be interesting.
I'm worried, personally.
That's the biggest news of the day and all the nonsense that went on. I like it. Okay, that's the bottom line. tears in my eyes. I don't know. Oh, boy. Taking our words and making us look even dumber than we already look. There you go. You having fun?
Having a wonderful time.
Sean Farrell from NHL.com and MLS.com. Who are you?
Who am I?
I asked you first. You miss baseball?
I miss baseball terribly. Yeah.
Do you like
to push it back to the back of my mind for a few years?
Yeah.
I had to. I'm sure you were the same.
Do you have a team? Do you watch the Blue Jays?
Yes, the Red Sox. I enjoy the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing.
All right.
Yeah. Winning.
Yeah. You're a Red Sox fan?
Yes. Yes, I am a Red Sox fan. Which made it really nice in 2004 when Pedro gave that shout out to Texas.
Oh, that was cool.
Tremendous.
That was cool. I don't like the Red Sox anymore because they've won World Series and their fans have become annoying.
Yeah, I like them even more now that they've won a few World Series.
Not you in particular.
No, I hear you.
I was driving around. I think I was in Myrtle Beach and I was listening to Colin Cowherd. And the first thing I thought was,
there was nothing else on the radio.
Oh my goodness! I don't mind. I don't mind calling. I just thought
that was great.
I thought to myself, could I do that? You know, because he could talk for an hour about the same thing like 12 different ways. How does he do that? That's a very. It sounds like a very difficult thing to do, but he did go on and on about how the Red Sox were up 3-0. The Yankees were up 3-0 against the Red Sox, right?
Yes.
And he was saying that's the Yankees were up 3-0 on the Red Sox because they did things right, because they played in pinstripes and they didn't have mustaches and they didn't have sideburns and they didn't have long hair. Yeah. And I thought, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. They were up 3-0 because they pitched, hit, and played defense better. That's why they were up 3-0. And I willed the Red Sox to victory. So he would shut up. So and I thought this would be the all-time crusher. Shut him up here by having the only team come back from 3-0 in the history of Major League Baseball, because that makes absolutely no sense at all.
A good friend of ours and I watched the game together. Watched Game 3. Walked out. I remember walking out of the drinking establishment that night. It was 19-8, I believe, the final score. It was a complete blowout. And he said, there's no way I can watch Game 4. And I had to watch Game 4. Yep. I mean, you have to see it. I haven't asked him if he watched it or not. But, I mean, it's incredible to think back about it. And I remember being in spring training in 2005, which was pretty awful because that was the first year the Expos were no longer. And I was in the Red Sox gift shop, and they had a montage of the series, and it was unreal to watch everything that happened and how it unfolded, and they did it, you know, chronologically. Boy, that made up for a lot of heartbreak.
So funny that you should say that, because I have a picture of myself in a Boston Bruins gift shop.
Yeah,
because we were in Old Orchard Beach the night the Blackhawks came back and won the Stanley Cup in 17 seconds. And I'm completely surrounded by Bruins paraphernalia with a Blackhawk hat on. I got my arms around a couple of T-shirts, and I thought, you know... And I remember going up in an elevator, and some guy said to me, you think you should be wearing that hat? And I said, why wouldn't someone... want to wear the hat of the Stanley Cup champions.
Oh. Not poking the bear at all there.
The real bear.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. But so just like you, like the moment that series is over, no Yankee fan can ever bother you again.
Yeah.
Fact. It's over.
That's right.
And no Boston Bruin fan can ever bother me again. Because all I have to do is hashtag 17 seconds. Ugh.
I feel like his is even worse, though. The 3-game lead, that's tough.
And the thing is,
tough.
Like, even now, Colin Cowherd was one thing, but guys in New York would write it because that's the way it was. They would write that this happened because that's the way it always happened. Right? This is how this is going to play out. This is going to play out because the Yankees beat the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Because it's been that way for forever.
In fact, that one was anticlimactic. It was 3-0. They're up 3-0. Like, this is nothing like 2003 when Aaron Boone hits the home run
That was a good one. You like that one?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I got up at the Bell Center. We were watching it, a few of us, after the game. As soon as Aaron Boone
hit that home run. The ball lands in the stands. I got up. I turned off the TV set. And two other guys were watching it, went, hey, hey. And I went, oh, yeah, of course. Hey. So I turned it on.
1971, Blackhawks had a 2-0 lead in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
I remember.
I had to go to school the next day. That was terrible.
I bet.
That's like one of the worst. The only thing was that the Blackhawks didn't score in 17 seconds against the Canadiens. But at this point in my life, I was much better with it being the Bruins than the Canadiens. Sean, thanks so much for coming in and keeping us company tonight.
Thanks,
Grant Robinson, thanks for coming in and keeping us company every night. Freddie, you did a great job again tonight. Thank you. And I know his name. Jeez, not that old. Santiago Betancourt, thank you so much for pushing the buttons and pushing them all correctly. Oh. Was that on the air?
It wasn't. I can't believe that great line is gone forever.
That's the way it goes sometimes.
Had to be there.
If you missed any of the show and you missed that line, it will never be heard on the radio. Please check us out, sportsnet.ca, and you can catch tonight's show in its almost entirety. Because they'll edit a little bit. And then we'll see you tomorrow.